Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
This week on Spiritual Awakening Radio, the Hem of the Pearl, also known as the Hem of Judas Thomas the Apostle in the country of the Indians. A mystical poem about you, all souls really. Do you remember who you are? Have you fallen asleep in an alien land? Are you an alien soul in search of your true identity? Have you forgotten your origin? Are you asleep? Is there a force or a teacher that can awaken you from this slumber or matrix and introduce you to the nature of reality again? The Gnostic Hem of the Pearl is my focus on this week's program. Now, the hem itself is very long, and I'm certainly not going to read the whole scripture, but I will give you my email address very soon and a text message that you can send via a certain number, and I can send you a link to the entire Hem of the Pearl. So stay tuned and be ready for that. One of the greatest Gnostic texts of all time is known as the Hem of the Pearl. It's a book that's about you, about all souls, really. As you read it, it may dawn on you that it is a poem about you. It is a story or tale about you. It's the ultimate Gnostic text, one of the ultimate Gnostic texts, because it's about the reader coming to know himself or herself as he or she reads. The Hem of the Pearl, also known as the Hem of the Soul or Hem of the Robe of Glory, is the Hem of Judas Thomas the Apostle in the country of the Indians. Originally written in Syriac Aramaic, the Apostle Thomas sings this hem while praying for himself and his fellow prisoners. They were incarcerated, as sometimes in these various accounts or stories, apostles are. They sometimes are thrown in jail for having the wrong spiritual belief during an age when there was no such thing as freedom of religion. Some scholars believe the hymn itself was composed before the rest of the Acts of Thomas and got inserted later on, because it appears in only one Syriac Aramaic manuscript and one Greek manuscript of the Acts of Thomas. The author of the hymns is unknown, although there is a belief that it was composed, this particular collection of hymns known as the Hem of the Pearl, was composed by the Syriac teacher Bardesian, due to some parallels between his life and that of the hymn. But like everything else, scholars rarely agree, and that's a very much disputed or contested point. Not very many scholars have a clear sense of who actually composed the Hem of the Pearl. This hem, or Hem of the Pearl, is commonly interpreted as a Gnostic view of the human condition, that we are spirits lost in a world of matter and forgetful of our true origin. This state of affairs may be remedied by a revelatory message delivered by a messenger from realms beyond. The hem has been preserved and especially treasured in Manichaeanism, says Wikipedia. A version of it appears as part of a North African Manichaean psalm book copied into the Coptic language of Egypt, a book known as the Psalms of Thomas. The Hymn of the Pearl has also been admired by Orthodox Christian thinkers, unquote. That's from Wikipedia. And that brings to mind a point I wish to make, that this is one book among many in what's called the Thomas School, the St. Thomas School, a branch of Gnosticism or Christian Gnosticism that once existed in Syria or around all of Mesopotamia into Iraq and Iran, around the Persian Gulf during the early centuries AD. It eventually branched out into Orthodox Syriac Christianity, Syrian Orthodox Church, the heterodox and not so orthodox Nestorian branch, and the outright Gnostic branch known as the Manichaeans, followers of the prophet Mani. So it branched out in three directions, originally just called the Thomas Christians of the 1st and 2nd centuries AD, the School of St. Thomas, based in that part of the world. There are several books of Thomas. There is the Gospel of Thomas. There is the Gospel of Thomas, which is the infancy Gospel of Thomas, actually, a different book of Thomas. There is also the Book of Thomas, the Spiritual Athlete. There is a kinder, gentler apocalypse of enlightenment known as the Apocalypse of Thomas. There is the Acts of Thomas, which contains the Hymn of the Pearl, along with many other interesting hymns, especially the Syriac version, which I prefer. And as Wikipedia mentioned, there is a collection of hymns known as the Psalms of Thomas. These are all books of the Thomas School of Eastern Christianity, the Church of the East. There's another book I should include in this collection called the Book of the Odes, also known or mistakenly known as the Odes of Solomon, but actually has nothing to do with Solomon, a collection of early Christian hymns, the first known hymn book of early Christianity, in fact, known as the Book of the Odes, called by some, pseudepigraphically titled Odes of Solomon, but is another book that was very much a favorite in this group that existed in antiquity, the Thomas School of Gnostic Christianity of the 1st and 2nd centuries AD that morphed into Orthodox Syrian, Nestorian, and Manichaeanism as the centuries whizzed past after that. There's a beautiful book called The Syriac Fathers on Prayer and the Spiritual Life, featuring Syriac Aramaic writings from the 4th through the 8th centuries AD, closer to the Syrian Orthodox position, but a little bit on the heterodox side. For instance, St. Isaac of Nineveh was equally liked by the Nestorians, and so, like Rumi, kind of an ambiguous figure, nothing controversial in writing, so everyone liked him, crossing many denominational and religious and sectarian lines with that particular stroke of genius. As with the quatrains of Nostradamus, it's in the eye of the beholder what they mean, and that greatly expands their appeal. The Hymn of the Pearl is a narrative poem about a prince's quest for the pearl of great price. Presented in the Acts of Thomas as a hymn uttered by Thomas, the Song of the Pearl is also a Gnostic tale of salvation, of sleeping in error and awakening to light, of quest not only for the pearl, but for the benefit of possessing the pearl, a return to the divine light. What is the pearl? As one of the alternative titles of the poem suggests, the hymn of the soul. The pearl may esoterically be the soul, or the pearl may be gnosis, the awakening, and the knowledge that the soul must have to move to the next level of being. Bentley Layton suggests that the prince and his quest may be the soul and its journey. The poem of the tale of the soul's entry into bodily incarnation and its eventual disengagement from the body, the soul on entering matter becomes inert, but once in possession of its pearl of knowledge, it will waken into wisdom and reunion with the first principle. The following reading comes from the Gnostic Scriptures by Bentley Layton, from his introduction to the Hem of the Pearl. In his School of St. Thomas section devoted to various books of Thomas, the Hem of the Pearl, or Hem of Jude Thomas the Apostle in the Country of the Indians, and he's using the Greek manuscript for his translation. The Hem of the Pearl, or Hem of the Soul, or Hem of Jude Thomas the Apostle in the Country of the Indians, presents a Hellenistic myth of the human soul's entry into bodily incarnation and its eventual disengagement from the body. The mythic tale of salvation is recounted by the protagonist, the soul, in the form of an autobiographical reminiscence. The myth does not directly demand a religious response from the reader, for it is a general description of salvation. Nevertheless, it is a classic homiletic appeal for conversion, phrased in the traditional language of sleep and awakening. This has been identified as a special type of material, often loosely termed the Gnostic call, which in fact transcends narrow sectarian and philosophical boundaries. Another example of the Gnostic call, or it's like someone in antiquity giving a sermon, you know, saying, "Who among you wishes to become awakened?" Something like that is what he's referring to here. In a Hermetic tractate called The Greatest Human Evil is Lack of Acquaintance with God, also found in Bentley Layton's translation here, his mighty fine book called The Gnostic Scriptures. In there is a beautiful story, I've actually read it before on this program, about souls asleep and in need of seeking a safe harbor, sailing, you know, into this harbor, docking, and searching for a spiritual guide that will lead them to the doors of Gnosis, a living master who will take you to the doors, introduce you to the door of Gnosis, of divine light and inner vision with the single eye or the third eye. And this, once again, is an example of the Gnostic call. You are asleep. Don't you think it's a good idea to awaken? It's that summoning to awakening kind of message that you find present in so many ancient texts. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament, the book of the Odes, Hermetic, and various Gnostic scriptures all have that Gnostic call to awakening, and of course that's very much embodied in the Hem of the Pearl, a hymn, one of many hymns embedded in the Acts of St. Thomas in India. On today's program, that's my focus. Now, to read the whole hymn, there's no time to read the entire text here, but I will share with you a link to a very good translation of the Hem of the Pearl, and you can read the whole thing and re-listen to this program as a podcast and really delve into the subject if you like. Send me an email asking about the link to the Hem of the Pearl, and I'll send you a link to this entire text as it is online. It's not that much of a read, probably 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. My email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. Ask about the link to the Hem of the Pearl. Or you can send me a text message at this number, 508-603-9381. 508-603-9381, and ask for the link to the Hem of the Pearl, and I'll send that link to you, and then just re-listen to the podcast of this show today on one of the greatest Gnostic texts of all time, the Hem of the Soul, the Hem of the Pearl. June Singer composed a wonderful book a number of years ago. It's still a great, I think it's actually a classic, called A Gnostic Book of Hours, Keys to Inner Wisdom. June Singer. I think originally it was published by HarperCollins, and now it's published by someone here in Maine, where I live, Nicholas Hayes, Inc., of Berwick, Maine. Not too far away from me, actually. They have become the publisher of the paperback edition of this book. I'm sure you can get it as an ebook as well. Search Amazon. And let me know, actually. I think you'll probably have good luck at finding it as an ebook as well. A Gnostic Book of Hours. June Singer's commentary on various Gnostic texts, including the Hem of the Pearl, which she puts in her Vespers, or Evening Devotions, section. The Hem of the Pearl, she says, a charming poetic narrative, has been chosen as the text for this hour because it deals with the threshold realm between the mundane world and the eternal world. Its hero is a prince, a divine child of divine parents, who is sent forth on a quest in which he will lose himself in order to find himself. The texts from which this tale are taken are not included in the Nag Hammadi library. They are probably pre-Gnostic and pre-Christian. It, in its present form, suggests a Manichaean origin or redaction, with the prince possibly representing Manny himself. So you get different points of view as you explore different scholars and what they've said about this book. Back to June Singer. This section differs from all others in A Gnostic Book of Hours in that it appears as the first person narrative of one individual's experience. Although the Thunder Perfect Mind was also phrased in first person language, the very paradoxical nature of its pronouncements indicates that the speaker was not addressing her audience from a personal perspective, but from that of a transcendent feminine being. Because the prince of the Hem of the Pearl reveals his experience in simple, moving terms, we can easily identify with him. The poem begins with the prince as a child, living in a state of comfort and opulence, with his celestial family, presided over by the divine mother father. As long as he is engulfed in the archetype of wholeness, the prince is unaware of the visible world and his role in it. Like any child in a well-ordered household, his needs are taken care of without his having to be concerned about them. He is not destined to remain indefinitely in a state of childish innocence, however. One day his parents send him off into the world and give him a seemingly impossible task to perform. He is sent on a particular mission, but being naive, he has no idea that the real purpose of this mission is to instruct him in how to achieve a level of consciousness suitable for an heir to the kingdom. Leaving the matrix of the primordial psyche, he sets forth into the world on a great adventure in the course of which he will undergo trial and temptation. He will not return in the same condition as that in which he departed. This sojourner's tale, told from the point of view of the masculine ego, has a very different quality from the exegesis on the soul, with its description of the descent and subsequent ascent of the feminine soul. While both the ego and soul seek to be reunited with the transpersonal self, the soul, being reflective, is painfully aware of her separation and alienation. While at the beginning of the Hem of the Pearl, the prince, as ego, is blissfully unaware of the purpose of his journey, whereas the soul's task was to contemplate and reflect on the meaning of her life. The ego's task is to awaken to the discovery of his own destiny. That's from the introduction to The Hem of the Pearl, provided by June Singer in her very nice commentary called A Gnostic Book of Hours, which is a kind of book of spiritual devotion for different times of the day and evening in monasticism. There are different times of devotion, and readings may take place as well as meditations at those times. And so she decided to create a Gnostic Book of Hours, a not-so-orthodox type of monastic-based literature, and did a wonderful job. It's a beautiful book. And has in that book, she has many commentaries on various sections of The Hem of the Pearl. After the break, we will delve into The Hem of the Pearl and its meaning. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening. My name is James Bean, streaming with you every week at this time here on HealthyLife.net, the Positive Talk Radio Network, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, and books, East and West, a satsang without walls, education for a more peaceful and enlightened planet. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time. Your Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Be vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Spiritual Awakening Radio continues. My name is James Bean. The focus this week is the wisdom contained in The Hem of the Pearl, The Hem of the Soul, an ancient Gnostic text. Why do we incarnate? If the soul originates in this perfect heavenly realm, why would souls want to leave or fall, quote-unquote, from that realm and enter into various bodies through transmigration of the soul and reincarnation in this world of suffering, this realm known as samsara, the world of changes? What do we get from this? What benefit is there? We must come away with a greater wisdom and appreciation that we did not have before, getting so road tested on the highway of transmigration, so to speak. This is a paragraph from Bentley Layton's very fine book called The Gnostic Scriptures, from his introduction to The Hymn of the Pearl. Both popular belief and certain kinds of academic philosophy, especially Platonism and Pythagoreanism, accepted that the soul had its origin in a non-physical realm from which it had come, that its incarnation in a material body hindered it from contemplating the good or God, and was generally harmful that it might be saved from this unfortunate fate, e.g. by acquiring the self-knowledge taught by wisdom or philosophy, and that the result might be an existence free of the body's influence. The problem of why in the first place the soul had ever fallen into existence in a body was a topic of philosophical discussion. So nothing new under the sun. In other words, this question of why are we here has been with us since the time of some of those early Greek sages in Platonism and Neoplatonism and Pythagoreanism long, long, long ago. And this is a question addressed by the Gnostics in this wonderful scripture called the Hymn of the Pearl, which is one of many scriptures used by the Thomasonians, the Thomasites, the Thomas branch of Gnostic Christianity, which has been one of the longest surviving schools of Gnosticism. Rather than dying an unnatural death due to persecution in the 4th century Roman Empire, it lived on, and we get a sense of what Gnosticism could be, what it could blossom into, further to the east, and left behind is a massive treasure trove of literature from the 1st century, 2nd century, 4th century through the 8th century, you know, the Syriac East, the Syriac Fathers, eventually the great-great-great-grandchildren of the Thomasonians, the Thomasites, the Thomasines, if you will, ended up in China, and they also wrote these glorious scriptures reflecting the life that they were cultivating in eastern China during the 6th, 7th, and 8th centuries A.D. They're combining Gnosticism, Christianity with Taoism and Buddhism. So it's amazing what happens when people have, at least for a while, religious freedom, human rights, and are allowed to assemble freely and publish writings and meet and meditate together and carry on. It's amazing. You know, we get a glimpse of the lives that they once lived by the writings they left behind, which, instead of dying out after the 4th century, lived on, you know, for several more centuries in the Syriac Aramaic East, going all the way from Syria or Persian Gulf, you know, over through Iran, Persia, to India and eastern China. And their descendants remain to this very day. One of the greatest Gnostic texts is the Hymn of the Pearl. As you read it, you will discover that this is a story about you and your spiritual journey, your incarnation. The Hymn of the Pearl is a parable about you and I, another version of the parable of the prodigal son. It's a story about the journey of the soul to and from the world, eventually going home to the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. The Hymn of the Pearl is about the soul's journey from oneness to separation and then back to oneness again. The following is a reading from John Davidson's book, The Robe of Glory, all about the hem of the pearl and other texts of this Eastern Manichaean tradition. That other gnosis that few know about or talk about. Lesser known Gnostic Gospels, not found in Egypt at all, but found in this Eastern tradition of Iraq, all the way through the Silk Road over to China. For everyone interested in the world's mystical and sacred literature, here is a fresh interpretation of this ancient Syriac mystic poem found in the apocryphal Acts of Thomas called the Hem of the Pearl or the Robe of Glory. The poem relates the story in allegorical form of the soul's journey from God into the creation, where it falls asleep, quote unquote, becoming completely unconscious of its divine origin. A messenger is therefore sent from the Supreme Being to awaken the sleeping soul, and by means of the mystic word, the soul travels the inner journey homewards to be reunited with its heavenly parent. The Robe of Glory is a beautiful example of the use of allegory in ancient mystical expression, also shedding light on many of the sayings and parables of Jesus that are found in both canonical and apocryphal literature. John Davidson is the author of a highly acclaimed series of books on the science of spirituality and mysticism, having a lifelong interest in both of these fields. A graduate in biological sciences from Cambridge University, he continues to live and work in Cambridge. I'm sharing with you a passage from the back book cover of his book, The Robe of Glory. The Robe of Glory relates to the most ancient of stories, the oldest story ever told, for it tells the tale of the soul's separation from its eternal home in the bosom of the Supreme Being, its wanderings in the labyrinth of creation, its follies and its heartaches, its eventual rescue by a living master or divine messenger sent by the Father, and its final return home, the ascension of the soul back again, full circle we come home in the end. In the mythology of every culture and country, in the folklore and fairy tales of every nation, in the mystical allegories of every people, variations of the same story are told. After the break, more explorations into the Hem of the Pearl. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. Stay tuned.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time. Your Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
Be vegan, make peace. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
An ancient text known as the Hymn of the Pearl begins with these words. When I was a little child living in the palace of my father in the luxury and wealth of those who nurtured me, my parents sent me away out of the east, our native country. They put together a bundle of treasures for me, both great and light, that I might carry it alone. They removed from me the garment set with gems and spangled with gold, which they had made for me, measured to my stature, because they loved me. They made a covenant with me and inscribed it in my heart that I should not forget. If you go down to Egypt and bring back from there the one pearl, which is there in the midst of the sea and is surrounded by the devouring serpent, you will put on again your robe of glory, they said, and will become with your brother who is next to us, heir in our kingdom. June Singer's commentary in her wonderful book, A Gnostic Book of Hours. Ages before this story begins, the pearl of inestimable value fell out of the invisible world into the dark sea of unconsciousness. It is a fragment of the holy light, but it gets mired in the mud and slime and is encased in a common shell. It must be uncovered and retrieved from the depths where it has been swallowed up by the powers of the world, as symbolized by the devouring serpent, who must be overcome from within. The serpent crouches with his tail held in his mouth, encircling the original chaos. The precious treasures that the parents give to the prince to take on his journey are their transmundane spiritual instructions, the gnosis that he is to communicate to those who have ears to hear. The prince's true home is in the east, the place of the fullness, the pleroma, the world of light where the soul longs to dwell. His parents, the unknown mother, father, God, send him off to Egypt, quote-unquote, which stands for the lower worlds. Upon his departure, they strip the prince of his marvelous robe of glory that shimmers like the stars. This fabulous garment has been fashioned exactly to fit him, because his parents have taken his measure. That is, they know his limitations and his potential. With great love, they send forth their divine son. They covenant with him that if he goes into the world of form and finds the one pearl, and if he succeeds in wrestling it from the grasp of the dark serpent power, he will be accepted back into the world of the spirit. The prince has many meanings for the Gnostic, as well as for us. In the invisible world, he is the archetypal son of man. When he descends from the east, he becomes the spiritual essence that holds the power to enliven the souls who live in the visible world. As a messenger from beyond the sphere of the rational, he is for us a bringer of light, a guide on the way, a doorway into another dimension of experience. He represents the person who comes into the world with a sense of purpose, a mission, and who hears himself or herself call to serve the one who summons. The following comes from John Davidson's commentary, to be found in his book The Robe of Glory, which is out of print, or in the now in-print contemporary version exploring the hem of the pearl, called The Prodigal Soul, The Wisdom of Ancient Parables, also authored by John Davidson. The home of the soul. Mystics of all ages and of all cultures have said that the soul is part of God. If he is an ocean, they say, then the soul is a drop. If he is light, the soul is a ray. If he is fire, the soul is a spark. There can be no closer relationship than that of a drop to the ocean, or of a ray to the sun. The Lord is an ocean of love and bliss. Consequently, the relationship of the soul to the Supreme Being is one of love. Such love involves complete faith and dependence upon the object of that love, and in order to portray this to us, mystics have described it in terms of human relationships. Jesus and many other mystics of those times spoke of the Lord as Father and the soul as the Son. In the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, Jesus also spoke of the meeting of the souls with the Lord as a wedding, a meeting with the bridegroom, where the feeling is primarily one of love. Other mystics have spoken of the relationship of the soul with the Lord as that of mother to her son, where once again the bond is one of love. In this poem, let us suppose that the author was Bardasyan, author of the Hymn of the Pearl, compares the soul to a little child. A child is entirely dependent upon his parents' care and love, knowing no other way in which to live. The child, the soul, dwells in his own kingdom, in the Father's house. This, then, being in the lap of the Father, is the true and real home for the soul. Moreover, the soul dwells in its own kingdom. That is, the soul is a king as well as a little child. In this state, the soul rests comfortably in the spiritual wealth and radiant glory of my nurturers, quote-unquote, those who support and give life to a soul, that is, the Supreme Being, the source of all being. The Lord is the ocean of being, while the soul is a drop of that same ocean. In reality, then, the soul and the Lord are one. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. After the break, I will continue this commentary from John Davidson and share another section of the Hymn of the Pearl and more commentary on the solution, the breakthrough, the enlightenment, the return home after awakening again. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening after this break.
Loving Hut is the fastest growing chain of animal-free gourmet vegan restaurants all over the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a healthy, sustainable, planet-friendly, plant-based diet. All mouth-watering items on the menu are 100% vegan. In the Atlanta area, visit Loving Hut at 6385 Spalding Drive, Norcross, Georgia. To see what's on the menu, get driving directions or other information, go to lovinghut.us/Georgia. lovinghut.us/Georgia. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/lovinghutGA. That's facebook.com/lovinghutGA.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Thank you.
this ancient text known as the Hymn of the Pearl, the Hymn of the Soul. The prince travels to Egypt, quote-unquote, the physical realm. He incarnates in Egypt. And he's very intimidated by the serpent who is in possession of this mysterious pearl, and he's very apprehensive about those Egyptians, too. He wants to get along. He wants to blend in. He doesn't want them to know he is from a faraway land, very different from them. He wants to just blend in, wants to assimilate, speak their language, dress like them, blend in, live and let live, get along, blend into the crowd. So he eats the food, and he drinks the wine, and he falls into a very deep sleep, and he forgets himself. He forgets his true identity, that he is from the East. He forgets the mission for which he had been sent. He forgets about his true nature, the robe of glory that awaits him. He forgets his mission in life, his purpose, to retrieve the pearl of great price and return to the East. But one day he meets someone he recognizes, a fellow traveler from the East, a fellow kindred spirit, like himself. And this became a very significant event in his life, and he made this person his companion. In this case, a male companion. And then one day, he receives this letter sent from the kingdom of the East, a letter of awakening. But it's not really just a letter. It's more of a supernatural entity of light and sound, of mystical seeing and hearing, not just an ordinary letter with ink and parchment. In the Hem of the Pearl, it says, "My letter had been sealed by the king with his right hand." It flew in the form of an eagle, the king of birds. It flew and lighted beside me. It became speech. At its voice and the sound of its moving wings, I rose up from my sleep. I took it and kissed it and broke the seal, and I read, and I realized the word on the letter for me to read were the words written in my heart. I remembered that I was a son of kings. And my freedom longed for its true nature, its own nature. I remembered the pearl for which I had been sent to Egypt. I began to charm the terrible serpent by chanting the names of my parents over him. I hushed him to sleep and lulled him into slumber. I seized the pearl and I turned to carry it back to my parents' house. Another passage from the Hem of the Pearl. And the parents' house, the divine parents' realm, is this place called the Kingdom of the East. June Singer, the letter flies in the form of an eagle, the great bird who soars higher than any other. The eagle lives in the full light of the sun. It is luminous in its essence, and it shares in the elements of air and fire. Its flight is swift and sure, swooping with lightning speed between the upper and lower worlds. What more appropriate messenger to send from the East than the king of birds? Containing its magnificent power, the eagle must have settled down gently beside the prince. For at first, all the prince hears is the rustle of feathers. He awakens as if from a dream. The eagle has become speech, yet somehow it is still the letter that had been sealed by the king with his right hand, so that its contents are not accessible to those unable to rouse themselves from the sleep of oblivion imposed by the Archon rulers. The seal of the royal family is familiar to the prince, though it has not been seen for a very long time. He recognizes it, and because he is the son of the king, he does not hesitate to break it. He kisses the letter and opens it. This gentle act reestablishes the relationship between the prince and his parents, between his sojourn in this world and his life in the world beyond. As he reads, he comes to the realization that the words of the letter are the same as the words engraved in his heart, words that even so he had forgotten. Now he remembers who he is, a member of the royal family, a participant in the divine order, an offspring of the Most High. What has awakened him is the urge to liberate that which was submerged in him, as in all humanity, that ever and again stirs people to throw off the manacles binding body and mind or soul. That urge is the spark that longs to be free so that it may rise to where it is truly at home. This is the meaning of the pearl that was forgotten but is now remembered. Still, freedom, like the pearl, is not given. It has to be dearly bought. With the swiftness of the eagle, the prince hastens to the place of the serpent. The text says, "I hushed him to sleep and lulled him into slumber." There is a hint of a magic charm here, the power of light over darkness. And here I will pause and give you my own interpretation of those final verses. The serpent of the mind is put to sleep by the mantra of the divine names, making it possible for the soul to be realized. As we meditate, we discover the pearl of our own true nature. Once again, a pearl that had been forgotten. Our true identity as soul. We have a mind, we have a body, but we are soul. And this is uncovered during the process of meditation as we repeat our sacred divine names and begin this process of ascension. To read the hem of the pearl in its entirety, send me a text message at this number, 508-603-9381. 508-603-9381, or send me an email at this address, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. Hope you've enjoyed the hymn of the pearl on today's Spiritual Awakening Radio.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on your plate. If you want to please your palate while still promoting love and harmony with the planet, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest growing vegan fast food chain in the world, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California in July of 2008. To learn more, go to www.lovinghut.us. Once again, the address is www.lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/SpiritualAwakeningRadio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.